You had a great week?
Yes.
All right, let's have a great Sabbath today. You may not know who I am. Probably about a half of you do. I'm Jerry Wagner, and I'm recently retired about a year ago. So what does a retired person do? I give you some hints. The first thing, I still pastor a church 172 miles away from my home. And it's a great church out at Winnemucca. Second thing I do, I am part of the Tahoe Camp Meeting Committee. And boys and girls and ladies and gentlemen, we got a fantastic camp meeting coming up here starting on August the 3rd, just right up the hill. Just a short, lovely drive. Thirdly, I am the Adventist Community Service Director for our great conference here. Fourthly, and a job that I'm enjoying all these jobs, believe me, this is not a burden, it is a pleasure that the Lord is still using me after 73 years. I am the director of the Center of Influence in Reno, better known as Adventist Community Center in Reno. So, how are you doing? It's a great life if we don't weaken, isn't it? Just a lovely time. And I'm so happy to be here today because this is really Deborah and I's home church. We don't get here too often. And it's been quite a few years since I spoke here. But we've always loved this house, so I hope you love it as much as we do. This is a great church here, and it always has been. But today I'm here to talk about helpless. You ever get that feeling? You get to a point in life or a situation or a job or anything, and you just feel completely helpless. You can't seem to do anything. You're just trapped into a mess, and you don't know how you're going to get out of it. Well, light. I'm just going to read that last verse that she read in the beginning from John 3, verse 21. It's a wonderful thing about getting old, too. You carry all these extra toys around. John 3, verse 21. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, and that they have been done in God. I want to tell you a couple of stories today that I hope would bring this to life. The first story, it happened a couple of years ago off the coast of Nigeria. There was a young man. He had a family. He had a wife. And he'd been looking for work. And he finally found a great job. And it was being the cook on a tugboat, going out deep sea tugboat, pulling ships around. And him and his wife were Christians. And he was so happy to hear this job. And every day, they would get up and they'd have prayer together. Every evening, they would have prayer together. So on this particular day, got up, had prayer, went and got on his boat, went out to sea. And as day was about ready to hook up to this big ship to tow it somewhere, it came a storm. Am I doing that? It just must be my electricity. They was getting ready to hook up to this ship, and a storm came up. And it was a pretty rough storm, so they kind of buckled all the hatches down, and they was down inside. It was a crew of 12 people. Very interesting. 12 disciples. Here's 12 people in a boat. And they was down in the boat, and Mr. Harrison, he just so happened he went into the restroom for some reason. It didn't make it plain. But while he was in there, he felt this real strong wave, and then another big boom, and the boat flipped upside down, and it started sinking. But he was in there, and he could hear people hollering and screaming and carrying on in the boat, and so finally, he could tell the boat was going down, and he managed to get out of the restroom he was in, And there was some water coming in. So the boat's upside down. And he's kind of disorientated. And he started thinking, what am I going to do? So he started to go. He said, maybe I could swim out. Then he realized that was impossible. The boat was going down, filling up with water. So he went up. And in upside down kitchen, there was an air pocket. And he went and sat in this air pocket, you know, just really scared. And it went down, down, down to 100 feet. And it sat on the bottom of the ocean. And he was sitting there. What do you think he did? Prayed. God, how am I going to get out of this here? What's going to happen? And a day went by. And then 2 days went by. And he thought he heard the fish eating on some of the other bodies in the boat. Because there was noise for a while, and finally it was silence. Here he was, sitting on the bottom of the ocean in 100 foot of water, total darkness. Couldn't see anything. Dark is dark, but when you don't have any light and you're 100 feet underwater, it's dark. And he got to thinking, I guess I'm going to die. This is it. He says, God, it's okay. You've been good to me. If this is my end, I accept it and I will die. Well, what he didn't know, and I didn't know this until I seen this on YouTube. You can look it up on YouTube yourself. Harrison Boat Rescue. But don't do it now like they do in some congregations. You wait till afterwards. But it's got a lot of clips about this story. They have what they call rescue stations, stationed around the oceans. And there was one out there. But it was 3 days away. And they started coming towards this boat. And of course, in the third day, they finally got to where the boat sunk at. And as the divers prepared, they put on their diving suits and all the gear and everything. They went down. It was no longer a rescue mission. It was a recovery. They were sure after 3 days, this guy, everybody, all 12 of them would be dead. It was impossible, they thought, to live in this boat for this time. So they go down, and there's a guy up in the boat talking to them through their headsets, they had on. And they was telling them, well, you go down here, and you guys go through this cabin, and you start looking here, and they was going through. Where Harrison was sitting there in the dark. You'll see on the video, you'll see a picture of him as these divers come into his room. They had these big bright lights on their helmet, on their diving mask. And Harrison, you can see the diver going up, and all of a sudden, when you watch it on YouTube, you see his hand go by. Harrison sees the light coming. And he sees there's hope, there's light coming in my boat. So he reaches down and tries to touch this guy. And he misses the first swap, but the next swap, the diver had his hand up and Harrison grabbed his hand. And the guy goes, it scared him. And he says, he's talking to the guys there, says, there's someone here and he's alive, he's holding my hand. The operator upstairs must have been a Christian. He says, that's okay, don't let go of his hand. Hang on to his hand, hold his hand, and go up. And he looked at him, and he says, yes, there's a guy here. And he says, now go over real gently and pat him on the shoulder. Let him know you're his friend. Let him know you're here to help him. So they go up and they start talking to Harrison. And they ask him, what do you do? He says, well, I'm the cook on the ship. He says, now Harrison, take it easy. He told him his name, Harrison. Take it easy. We're going to get you out of here. But you must listen very close to what we're going to tell you. We're going to go up and we're going to get some equipment. Well, we're going to bring some equipment down. And we will train you how to put the equipment on And but you have to follow the instructions very well. And you have to depend on us. We have to lead you out of here and get you up. And we have to go up real slow. So they do. They come out and they bring him a... It's a bell that kind of goes over the head. And the thing goes around here. They hook the air up. Then they said, Harrison, we need to practice a little bit. And we get him in the water and show him how to breathe. Now don't panic. Now don't panic. We are in a world that's getting darker and darker. Amen. Remember in the text? Those people who do evil live in darkness. They don't like the light. It scares them. They're afraid of light because their bad deeds will be exposed. They don't like light. But those who love the Lord go to the light. Like Harrison, he seen that light and he grabbed hold of that hand and he wasn't going to let go. When Jesus, when you see his hand in your life, grab hold to it and hang on. Hang on. They taught Harrison how to use the equipment. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to use the Bible for reading and for guidance. And the Holy Spirit tells us, don't worry, don't panic. I will get you out of this. And it's not an instant thing. It takes a while. So back to the boat. They get Harrison and they're talking as they go out. And they start going out real slow. Can you guess why? He'd been down 100 feet for 3 days. If they'd have brought him up real quick, it would have been instant death. You know, I think there's some stories in the Bible that talks about the seed falling on the wrong ground too fast. Sometimes we meet people. And the first thing out of our mouth, brother, you should be keeping the Sabbath. You know where the dead people are? It kills them. You put them entombed in darkness. So they bring Harrison up. And even when he gets to the top, after he'd taken 28 Bible studies, he needed to decompress. They put him in one of the decompressing chambers. And he had to stay in his decompressing chamber. Someone, and some of you, I think, are you Christians. Come, they hear, they study, they be baptized in the water. Harris had to come up through the water, baptized. And then we think they're next to God that day. They don't need him. They got it. You know, no more studies. We let them be on their own and they should be good, right? Harrison had to decompress. He had to change from being on the darkness to light. He had to change. It takes time, folks. I've been changing for 40 years this year. I'm still decompressing. How about you? It's something that we forget so much about. We got to hold on to God. We got to let Him lead us. Let the Holy Spirit teach us. Let us who know Jesus be friendly to Him and help decompression. And don't try to hide your sins from people. You know, folks, if you're sinning, God knows, and probably your neighbor does too. So just be honest. Just be honest. So that is a great thought that goes through our mind. The second story is about a young 21-year-old lady named Jessica Buchanan. She was doing some missionary-type work over in Somalia, that little country way on the other side of Africa, which has been so much problems. She was there teaching young children how to avoid landmines. That was her mission work here, her and another guy. And as they was going along one day, actually they was at the end of their tour of mission work in the air, and they was headed back to catch a plane to go home. a bunch of rebels, or it wasn't terrorists, they was kidnappers. They kidnapped them and hauled them off, going all through the desert there for 3 months. And she just knew that they was going to kill her. And one of the first things she asked them, "What are you intending to do? You intending on killing us?" They says, no, we don't want to kill you. We want money. We're holding you for money." They said, "Well, how much money?" "Well, we're going to ask $45 million for you." Whew, what an amount. What a value to put on a human life. $45 million to hold in ransom. But they drug them through the desert in this camp and out this camp, one camp to another. And finally, she said, "I thought I was going to die. I had gotten real sick. I was having kidney problems, kidney stones in the other part, because they only fed her a little bit of tuna every day and a biscuit. That's what she had to live on. And enough water. They wanted to keep her alive so they could hope to get this money for her." Well, she didn't think anyone in the world even knew where she was at. But she was a Christian, and she had prayed to God almost every day. And on this, I think it was November 25th, not exactly, and this happened in 2012. She was looking up, it was a dark, everything was dark there too. They kept her in dark as much as they could. And she was looking at the stars, and she was talking to God, saying, "God, this is it. I can't handle no more. I know I'm going to die. Just take care of my husband and take care of my dad," because her mom had died a year before that. And she was in pitiful shape. But people, the U.S. government was watching this case, following her. She had no clue. She never thought, "Why, little old me, why would anyone care about me? I'm just a little 21-year-old young lady out doing some missionary work way on the backside of the world from my home country. No one knows about me." But they were. And you can look up her story also on YouTube. Jessica Buchanan. This interview that I seen was on 60 Minutes. But it's on YouTube. So you get the full story. She was in bad shape. And some way or another, someone had spotted her, the government, and they realized she was very ill. And the doctor said, "If we don't get her out of there in the next couple of days, she's going to die." SEAL Team, what? 6. They got the assignment. It was the perfect night. God has a way of working things out. It was perfect condition. It was a U moon, pitch dark. They got on their helicopters, the SEAL team, and they flew over and they parachuted in real quietly into this area. It was 9 people who was holding these 2 people, her and another guy, hostage. And she said she was in her tent, and all of a sudden she heard some scratching on the tent. And the guard who was sitting in, she looked at his face and he looked like he was, boy, his eyes got real big and he was real afraid. All of a sudden, gunfire busted out. And then they had all kinds of shooting going on. And then it got quiet. Then all of a sudden she thought, oh no, this must be a radical Muslim group. If it's them, they're going to kill us for sure. Well, she already thought she was going to die anyway. But these hands come in, she started feeling hands, she kind of fought them off, she threw the blanket over her head. Then she heard a voice, Jessica. She says, "They know my name." And they got English voices, they got American voices. "Jessica, we're the U.S. military. We have come here to take you home." She says, her heart just that jumped out of her chest. So she takes the blanket down. All she could see was black mass, And they say, "Get your shoes." She says, "I don't know where my shoes are." So "Don't worry, we'll carry you." They picked her up in one of his arms and they ran. back through the brush, back to the brush. And then they heard a noise, so they laid her down. And all these seals got on top of her to protect her. And she says, could this be that you were where I was? My country sent these guys here to get me out. And not only that, they carried me when I couldn't walk. They carried me through this bush. And then when my life was in danger, they got on top of me, willing to die just for me. You get it, folks? You get what God's doing for us? He's willing to carry us when we're hurting, when we can't do it on our own. Like Harrison, they got him out of that boat when he couldn't do it on his own. Here this young girl couldn't do it on her own. Not only got kept preserved us for those 3 months, got her out of the tent, carried her across the rugged areas, and then laid on top of her to save her life. And then she heard the helicopter coming. And the SEALs got off of her. And they says, we'll carry you to the helicopter. She says, I don't need a helicopter now. And she got up and she ran. She ran. And she says she jumped in a helicopter and backed up in a corner and just sat against the corner and just thanked God for knowing where she was. And thank the United States for keeping track on her, that they cared so much for her. Doesn't God care so much about little individual me and you that he sent his son here to live for us, to die for us, to raise for us? Doesn't he have the Holy Spirit with us now? Isn't he willing to protect us and carry us through a hard time? Yes, he is. Then the SEALs come over to her in the helicopter, still had a mask on, and they handed her an American flag. She said she couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. She was saved. She was saved by our government. The other gentleman on there, they interviewed him at a different time. And he says, I'm so thankful that I was with an American, or I would have died there. My country would have never came and took me out like your country took you out. We're Christians. We're God's last day church. We have a message to do. God cares. When we get to heaven, boy, we're probably going to run through those gates too, right? Man, that's what an exciting time that would be. When we go in there, they're not going to hand us the American flag. They're going to put a robe on us and a crown on our heads. Wow! Can you just imagine what we got ahead of us? We live in fantastic times. But we're surrounded by people who are in darkness. They don't understand. They don't know what's going on. They think they're doing right. And yet, they're sinking to the bottom of the ocean. They're being held in some captivity with their life at their hands. But there's hope. There's hope. Now, back to the center of influence, which we have opened up with the first stage up in Reno at the, if you know where the old conference office is. I love the name Center of Influence. This is what our church are starting all over the world. Several are already running. I don't know how many. But now they're bringing them. They want these here in the United States. There's very few so far. And the way they're set up, the way they prefer to be set up, is not at your church. I don't know why it is. But it's probably even difficult to get people to walk by the sidewalk because the church is here. Because they're in darkness, really, led away. But these centers of influence, the one in Reno, we have the thrift store open now. The next thing will be the food pantry. And then we're going to have all kinds of counseling classes, all kinds of classes to help the folks. We're going to try to have a youth program for the community. All these things. We're going to try to even help the other community centers by getting organized. They're not organized. They're all on their own. They're all independent. And I think the books of Acts say we should all be in one accord, right? We should not act as the Carson City Church or the Sparse Church or the Round Church. We should act as Seventh-day Adventists, working together. Man, the first thing that happened up there, we had started getting some things in. And these two little girls walked by. We wasn't even open. We were just putting stuff in the building. Two young girls come by. They say, "Hey, are you open yet?" I said, "No." "Well, can we go in and look around?" I said, well, we're not really. I said, what are you looking for?" She says, "I got an eighth grade graduation coming up and I'm looking for a dress." I had just got some very, very nice clothes in. I said, "Come here." And I went out and opened up the garage door where I put this special clothes for a special time. I said, "Just go in there and pick out what dress you want." She went in. She wasn't in there 5 minutes. This beautiful little dress. She comes out and says, "I want this." I said, "Well, go in the building in there. There's someone and try it on and let me know." She came back. "It fits perfectly." I said, "Well, take it home. And if your mother and dad want you to have it, tell them what's happening. Then come back and it'll be yours." The next day, the whole family shows up. We're still not open. They show up wanting to pay for her dress, saying how nice it was. Hardly a day goes by where it's kind of slow up now, but people would come in and say, "We're so glad you Seventh-day Adventists are back in our neighborhood." I mean, happy to see us. How often are you happy for someone to see you and knows you're a Seventh-day Adventist? They are happy to see us. Now we're opening and going, and it's looking really good. Yesterday, I was there digging in the dirt, trying to find a leaking sprinkler system. And I seen this guy coming down the street, and he's, had his shorts on. He was kept pulling his shorts down. He comes over and says, "Do anybody anyway have a belt?" He said, "I can't keep my shorts up." I said, "I think we do." So we went inside. To show you how little men know, I said, "We got these belts here." I looked at him, I looked at the belt. I said, "I think we got two that would fit you." "Oh, I like this one." He was looking at what looks good. And I said, "That belt would never fit you." "Oh, let me try." He put it around and it came back right there. "No, I want this. This one over here looks good." He tried it on about the same thing. He says, "Okay, which one do you say?" I said, "These two." He tried the first one on. It was a good fit, but it broke since he got it on. I said, "We got one more." The belt I tried to get him to take it first was an adjustable belt with the two rings on it. He said, "That's not a belt." I said, "Yes, it is." I just had to show him how to use it. When he took the belt, he says, "How much?" I said, "It's free. Just take it." You should have seen the look on his face. "Free? Can have this?" I said, "For you, yes, it's free." And that's what I'm enjoying so much at this city of influence here, center of influence, is being able to sit there. If you come in, something may be $5, $2. I can either give it to you or I can sell it to you for a dollar. It is a great feeling. And the only thing that we really require is that we're there strictly to help the community. Because a few months ago, I did a series on Matthews. And I realized we're not giving anything back to our cities, to our people in our area. Nothing. All we want to do is seem like baptism. Now, I know it's not exactly that true, but that's what it seemed like to me. So I say, we just want to help people. You got to have that mindset. No matter if it's a little cute little girl or this slightly overweight guy with shorts falling off. You know, it's just a blessing to help these people. And that's what these cities, well, city centers of influence are doing. It's Adventist Community Service, but it's nothing like it used to be, folks. It is totally different. We don't have just a bunch of stinky clothes in there. Actually, we got some pretty good stuff in this place. But the whole thing is given to people. And I have found out not every time, but probably 50% that we sell something to somebody, the next day or two, they'll bring stuff back and give us stuff that they want to donate. The lady and four little kids came in Thursday. We're open Sunday through Thursday, 12 to 6. They come in carrying all these bags. And I says, can I help you? And they said, well, we just wanted to come give you all this stuff so you can give it to other kids. Bunch of toys. It's a bunch. And good toys. They worked. So I just, you know, I love what I do. I always have. You know, when you're working for the Lord, things are just good. When you're really working for the Lord, you're not just pretending that you're working for the Lord. There's a big, big difference. You know, each one of us need to have a serious talk with God and get down to the nitty-gritty. Say, Father, give me an assignment. This guy has volunteered up there. He's been a Christian for 1 year. He's volunteered with, and I tried to offer him pay 3 times. He says, no, this is my mission. This is what I want to do. So he's working there for nothing. Many hours a day. And it's a joy. So I'm going to leave some cards out front when I leave here. If you want to come and have fun, and you want to have a smile on your face when you go home at the end of the day, and you want to feel like you've done something, come on down. It is a lot of fun. We'll show you what to do. It's just smile and talk to people. You know, people come in the store many times. I just sit down and talk with them if they want to talk. And most of them do. They don't mind talking. We got a lot of vets come in there. We got a lot of seniors. We got a lot of every nationality you can think of. We're located in the heart of Reno. Right in the heart, according to 2 or 3 figures that I actually got from the city and from other places there. We got more nationalities in that surrounding, I don't know, 10 blocks, 20 blocks, whatever, than any other part of the city. It is a great community. And Deborah mentioned something to me the other day. But she said, you know, she'd been thinking about it. That we here in the U.S. haven't really went through much persecution. Our persecution is we don't get a chocolate cookie after lunch. You know, we do go through some hard times. It's true. We lose loved ones. We stress over different job things and different problems. And we have some people who are in our churches who really go through some hard times. That's true too. But she says, I can see why these people from these other countries are crashing the fence to get in here. They have been living in persecution all their life. And they're coming here because this country is still known for its freedom, believe it or not. I don't have a lot of crime in my neighborhood. I don't think we had any. I can walk all over Reno and feel safe. What about you? But these people don't know it. We need to read more of these stories like Jessica and Harrison and other people who are really suffering and see how God comes down. And we can influence people in our communities to reach up and grab God's hand. They can see God through what we do. Yeah, you know, we need money. We need different things for this community service center. But right now, I'm just offering you an opportunity to come up and enjoy. Enjoy life. Have a meaning in your life. To serve up there. You know, I don't care if you serve 10 minutes or 2 hours or what. Just come. I want you to come enjoy what we're seeing up there. It is really, you know, we had more fun than a barrel of monkeys. And it's nice. And you feel good when you go home. And this goes on all day long. We, you know, in the clientele, this building, we haven't even advertised yet. But anyway, that's my talk for today. I hope you enjoyed it. And remember, above everything else, when you are completely helpless, just look up and reach up. God is there. He's always there. He's willing to grab a hold of us and pull us out of the pit and put us on the road to recovery. And it may take a while. Like I said, I'm working on 40 years, but I'm a show lot better than I was 40 years ago. So God bless you folks, and appreciate you inviting me down. And you have a wonderful Sabbath. Thank you.